You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
All right, so this last couple months we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer in depth. So as we begin, let's join our hearts and our prayers together as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So let me ask you this morning, how many of you experienced a feast this week of sorts, or multiple feasts this week? Yeah, multiple feasts. Yeah, we did that too. It seemed like one set of kids, our kids, were at feast at one school, and then a feast at another school, and then a feast at the Dotsons, and then a feast of leftovers, and you know, multiple feasts this week. And I bet we all probably. Maybe you're coming back today a couple pounds heavier than we were, having filled ourselves up. So I wonder, when is the last time that any of us can honestly say that we prayed for daily bread? I mean, just saying we prayed for just enough bread to keep us from going hungry today. Probably not too many of us. In January of 2007, I had a chance to go and spend 2 weeks in Belize, with a trip from my seminary. And I stayed with a pastor there and lived with his family. And Pastor Luis made me a part of the family, just treated me like one of them. Now, they were right near the border of Guatemala. I do not speak very much Spanish. They did not speak very much English, so it was a very interesting couple of weeks. But just being able to immerse myself in the culture. And for those couple of weeks, we didn't have to worry about food because I was paying room and board, which was more than enough for them to be able to provide. But the reality was that this family didn't always have as much as we had that couple of weeks that I was there, and didn't always have enough, because I would go with Pastor Luis to travel around to visit his congregation around the city there. And really, cities being generous, we would go out to these rural areas outside the city, and he would visit his congregations and would have to walk because he didn't have transportation. This was in January, and it was 90 degrees in January. And he's going out to these farms where these church members lived in houses with dirt floors. And oftentimes, they didn't have enough money to tithe, so they would give Pastor Luis some extra food they had. Maybe some vegetables they had grown. Maybe a chicken, if they had an extra chicken. Maybe some bread that had been baked that day, and often that might be the only food that family had for the day that Pastor Luis could bring home for his four children and his wife. And so when he prayed, God, give us today our daily bread, he meant it. He meant it for today. And he trusted that God would provide. But most of us don't have to worry about that. Most of us, if we need bread, we go to the pantry, you know, or your bread box or wherever you keep your bread. And if it happens that you're out of bread for that day, well, just run down to the store. It's not a problem. Most of us don't live too far away from a grocery store. It's very easy. And my guess is that if there were some major disaster in our world today and food supply was short, I would guess just about everybody in this room would be able to survive for a little while, at least, on what is in our pantry. Now, it might not be the best recipe in the world. It might be kind of a little weird, some of the meals we have, but I would venture to guess that we have enough that we could get by for a little while at least. So with that being the case, we might come to this phrase in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and think, maybe it's just a prayer for somebody else. You know, or I've got my daily bread and then some, and I don't really need to pray this. Or we have a temptation just to spiritualize it and say, well, he's not really talking about bread. He's talking about something else. And we might even be reluctant to pray such a prayer. Now, New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, he argues the opposite. He says that the danger with the prayer for bread is that we get there too soon, not that we don't get there at all. He says we come to prayer aware of urgent needs or at least wants, and it's tempting to race through the Lord's Prayer as far as earth, on earth as it is in heaven, so that we take a deep breath and say, now, look here, when it comes to daily bread, here are some things that I need, God. And then we start going through our shopping list. I mean, isn't that what prayer request time often looks like? And what our prayer time often looks like, these daily urgent needs? It's, you know, provision for job or food or shelter. Or we ask all these lists of prayers for sickness, for those that are suffering, for those that are grieving and need comforting. These urgent prayers. We kind of tend to rush through this idea of God's will and God's kingdom and God's glory and God's honor. And we want to get to that laundry list that just keeps growing and growing. That's why, if you've noticed, we've been working our way through this Lord's Prayer since the beginning of October. And it's now November 25th, and it's the first time we've gotten to anything that's a request for us. Up to this point, it's been about, you know, your name, your kingdom, your will. But Jesus did teach us to pray for daily bread. So we need to ask, what does this prayer mean for us? And what does it have to teach us today? And a few things that I want to suggest. The first thing is this, that there is a connection between the spiritual life and the physical life. They're connected intimately. Now, unfortunately, we live in society that seems to suggest that there's two worlds, that there's the physical world, the stuff we see, and then there's the spiritual world that's out there somewhere that includes God, and we're not really sure, but it's out there. Now, in this division in our world, oftentimes what happens is we talk about this world as though the physical world, that it's bad in some way, and that the spiritual is good, right? That we're supposed to escape, you know, the physical pleasures of this world, that those are bad, and we're supposed to, you know, be on some higher form of spiritual existence. Or that this world, this is how we normally hear it, is this world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's a good thing we got a home somewhere else. Right? And that's good and this is bad. And sometimes it's not that obvious, because if you think about it, in Sunday school this month, we've been talking about the greatest commandment, where Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so it's tempting to compartmentalize our lives along those lines, right? So to care for our bodies, what do? We eat and we sleep. And if our bodies are not well, we go to a professional. We go to a doctor to check on our bodies. To care for our mind, we get education from teachers. We go to the professionals and get education. And to care for our emotional health, we may go to a professional counselor. We may come to a pastor or somebody for spiritual guidance. And we place our life in the care of these different professionals to help with all of our different needs. And we have different roles in each area of our life. We have roles at home and roles at work and roles at church. And oftentimes those roles don't overlap with one another. And we compartmentalize all of these things out there. And with this simple phrase, Jesus is reminding us that we are whole people. We're not all of these separate individual things, that everything is connected and everything overlaps. And it's not just there's a physical and a spiritual, because it's all connected. It's all spiritual. Everything is connected to God. And this prayer for daily bread reminds us that our lives are whole and singular, not all these separate parts. And sometimes it reminds us that this prayer for daily bread is more than just a prayer for bread. It's not really always a prayer for food at all. Because Wayne Mueller, he writes this way. He says, if we're lonely, only the loving company of another can become our daily bread. If we're sad, we hunger for beauty and hope and delight. If we're scattered and overwhelmed, we may require the bread of solitude or contemplative prayer. If we're weary, we need rest. If we're frightened, we seek reassurance and comfort. So to pray for our daily bread is to acknowledge that we are integrated beings, that when one part of us suffers, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, all of us suffers. When one thing is out of balance, everything is out of balance. And to pray this prayer is to fight against that kind of separation, that kind of compartmentalization. But to pray for bread specifically, as Jesus taught us, does something deeper. It begins to help us distinguish between what are our wants and what are our needs. Will Willimon suggests that most of us in this country perish from too much bread rather than too little, filling the gnawing emptiness within through ceaseless consumption. Let that sink in for a second. Most of us in this country perish from too much bread rather than too little. Because when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we would do well to check our hearts, to check our motivations, to ask, is this a want? Is this a need? Now, short confession time. How many of you went shopping on Friday? A few people? Oh, no, hardly anybody. Just a few people. Okay. Few Good Friday shoppers. Now, don't raise your hand when I ask this. How many were actually going shopping for something that we needed? Like, that we our survival depended on it? Probably nobody. I mean, maybe there were five people out there, you know, but that was it. You know, the rest of us, it was not needs. It was wants. You see, we're not accustomed to praying for bread in our culture because in our culture, bread is the appetizer, not the main dish. When somebody came in and smelled the bread this morning, they said, man, we just need some butter. It's like when you go to a restaurant, what's the first thing they put on the table? They'll give you some rolls, stick some bread, maybe some olive oil, a little pepper on there so you can dip the bread in there. It's the appetizer. But for many in the world, bread is, that's the whole meal. That's everything. This fact was driven home to me very clearly when I was about 8, 9 years old. We had just moved into our new house in Texas. And it was the first house I'd ever lived in that had a fireplace. And so as young kids, we thought, cool, we've got a fireplace. So we were latchkey kids, and so we came home after school one day and said, let's test it out. Got some newspaper and crumpled it up and put it in there. My little brother and my stepbrother and I, and we lit it up. And it was pretty cool for a couple of minutes. Maybe not even a full minute. Because then the smoke started like coming into the house. And then like the whole den area, it was like the whole area was covered in smoke and it was filling up that. I didn't know what a flue was. I didn't know you're supposed to open it or what it was supposed to do, you know. I'd never heard of a flue. So we were opening up the doors and we were turning on the attic fan and we were trying to suck the smoke out, but it's filling up the house and you just can't hide that. So mom comes home and she said, obviously says, why does it smell like smoke in our house? What did you do? Nothing. I don't know. Eventually, we fessed up to it, and Mom decided that an appropriate punishment for us would be to teach us a lesson. And so she said, if you had burned down the house, we would have had nothing. You would have eaten bread and water, and that's it. So that's what you're getting. That was dinner that night, was one piece of bread and a glass of water. And I never forgot that. That's all we got. But it reminds me and it makes real that idea, that reality that around the world, for many people, that's it. That is it. One, you know, little piece of bread is the meal. And so of all the things that we enjoy in life, we have to ask the question, when we pray for bread, what are the true needs that our survival depends on? And then what are the conveniences that we've just gotten used to over time? Because Jesus says, when he says, pray this way, he says, you need to ask yourself, is this a necessity? Is it a luxury? And what's our relationship to each of those? But not just because we're praying for bread. Jesus says you got to pray for it daily. So daily bread. So what does that mean? So this daily prayer for bread reminds us that we have this dependence on God. Right? Who in the world goes to the grocery store and buys enough food for today? Right? Nobody does that. Like, I go to the grocery store, or Michelle goes to the grocery store. We buy for at least a week at a time. Right? We don't just go for today. And you know, sometimes we'll go to Sam's. You know, and if you go to Sam's Club, I mean, you're getting it at least for like a month, you know, like Cheerios for a month or something, or toilet paper for 6 months if you get like the huge case. We would much rather Jesus have taught us to say, God, give us, you know, at least a year's worth. You know, just enough to so that I can feel secure. I can feel comfortable. You know, you listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio. He says you need to get out of debt, and then once you've gotten out of debt, you need to store away 6 months' worth of your monthly, you know, salary as like a safety plan, safety net. That's Dave Ramsey's suggestion. It's not exactly daily bread, is it? Right? I mean, it's to honestly pray for bread daily is to remind us that we need God. That we need God every single day. Is it possible that in our culture, our lack of daily need contributes to our daily neglect of our spiritual life? Is it possible? When Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, they did come to the wilderness, as we were talking about with the children, and very quickly they realized they weren't going to have enough food to survive. So they came to Moses, and he prayed, and God provided for them manna coming down every morning. And they could go and they could collect enough for that day. And when they tried to collect more, it spoiled. It had worms in it. You know, this is where we have issues praying with daily bread, because we said, most of us say, God, I need a little more security than just for today. You know, I wish, Jesus, you had taught me to pray, give us today my 401k, my Roth IRA, all of the things that will keep my future secure, my paid off mortgage. Give me a little security, a little nest egg for the future. But Jesus didn't teach us to pray that. He seems to have a different attitude, something that says more along the lines of where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where is your treasure located this morning? Is it in a bank account? Is it in a full pantry? Is it in a retirement account? Because in praying for daily bread, God is teaching us to place all of our trust, all of our hope in God. In God, that God will provide, that God is faithful. And then finally, to pray for daily bread is to pray simultaneously, thank you and I'm sorry. Because it's to acknowledge that everything that we have comes from God. All good gifts are from God. To acknowledge that if we are blessed, it's because of God. If we have food in our pantry, it's because of God. It's to be grateful, constantly grateful. And yet, when we look around the world, there are so many that don't have. There's so many in our world that live on less per day than we threw out in leftovers from Thanksgiving that we threw away. So every thank you, God, is also an I'm sorry, because I have so much and there's so many that don't have, because God has taught us to pray with those. He didn't teach us to pray, give me today my daily bread. He taught us to pray, give us. That we're praying it in community, that we're praying with those around the world and around us that have needs that go unmet each day. This past summer when we were in Cuba, we had an opportunity to travel around with the pastor of our sister church, Pastor Sila, to other churches around where she lived, to visit the other churches, to provide encouragement for those pastors. And while we traveled, we got to talk with Sila a little bit, and so we started asking her about her calling as a pastor. What was she called to? How was God working? And how was God drawing her to this ministry? And she went on and on about how she was not a great preacher. She said, I'm not a great speaker. I'm just not gifted there. And she said, my calling is to stand with my neighbors, to be the hands and feet of Christ to my neighbors. And so there was a little girl that had always seemed to kind of be hanging around Sila's house and hanging around Sila's kids. And her mother lived a couple doors down from Selah, and we found out that her mother had not had a job and could not provide for her kids and for her child the way she wanted to. And so Selah, whenever they could, they would invite this little girl over and have her stay at their house. And sometimes they'd invite the mom over and allow the mom to work there in their house, providing meals for guests and different things like that. Essentially, they had adopted this little girl as part of their family. Her name is Karina. And Selah made the comment. She said her family had made a decision that they come together as a family and they decided if Karina didn't eat, they didn't eat. So that's the commitment we have to our neighbors and to our community. If Karina doesn't eat, we don't eat. I think this is what it means to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Saint Basil the Great was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century, and he is credited with saying this: "The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under the bed to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked. The money that depreciates in your treasury belongs to the poor." Think about that. The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under your bed belong to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked. The money that depreciates in your treasury belongs to the poor. My friend Shane put it even more bluntly. He said, if I have 2 coats and you don't have one, and I keep going the way things are, I've essentially stolen that second one from you. I said, whoa, wait, but think about that. That's what it means if we're praying, give us this day our daily bread. Because if we were saying, give me, God, give me my daily bread, then we could go about and feel fine about it. But no, God tells us that we are praying this in community. So if we as a community are praying, God, give us our daily bread, and one of us is hoarding it, we're taking it from the others that we are praying with and praying for. So as we pray for bread, let us likewise pray that we might become bread for our brothers and sisters in need, that we might become the daily bread that others need. One of the highest forms of prayer that we share in regularly as a community is to gather around the table here, to feed on the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's the place that we can bring all of our hunger, whether that's a physical or emotional or spiritual or mental, that we can bring all of our hunger, all of our brokenness, all of our need, and we can find that God meets us there with healing and fulfillment and nourishment. So today as we close, we're going to close by coming to the Lord's table, but I'm going to encourage you to do something different. Today I want you to take a moment now just to think about someone that you know, someone you may know about, someone you may have seen on television or heard about or read about, but someone who is in need of God's bread today. Maybe it's physical bread because of someone you know that's hungry, but maybe it's spiritual bread as well, but I want you to think about that person. Just kind of hold them there. And then as you come up to the altar today, I want you to imagine that person is coming with you. That as you receive the bread, the broken body of Jesus, that they will receive it alongside you. That as you receive the cup, the shed blood of Christ, that they will receive it alongside you. And I want to encourage you to pray and to ask yourself, what would this person mean if they were praying, give us today our daily bread? And as you answer that question, what would that person mean? Maybe you might also see the beginning of how God is calling you to be bread to the world and to that person. Scripture says that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, gathered together with his disciples. And as he did, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, Jesus took the cup. And after he had given thanks, he said to them, "This cup is the new covenant. It is in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming my death until I return." So as we come to this table, let us come to receive our daily bread. Let us bring alongside with us those who also hunger. Let us bring alongside with us our brothers and sisters in Cuba. Let us bring alongside with us our brothers and sisters at the veterans' homeless shelter, at the jail, those people that we have a chance to reach out to on a weekly basis. Let them join us. Let's pray. Our God, we are thankful this morning that you have taught us to pray honestly and openly for daily bread. You've taught us to pray for our needs of survival, not just our wants. That you have reminded us that you are the giver of all good gifts. You are the one who sustains us. You are the one who cares for us. So as we come to this table this morning, I pray that you will remind us of your continued faithfulness, of your great love, and of your calling to us to be bread to the world. That as we pray, that we would realize that if we have been given much, you are calling us to share and to care for those who haven't. Lord, we pray that you would bless this bread and this cup, that it would be a reminder of Jesus Christ, who unites us together as one family and who has loved us with an everlasting love that we cannot even begin to understand. So we return with the only words that we can and say thank you. Thank you. We pray this in Christ's name.